There was once a donkey who had spent all of his life carrying corn sacks to the mill for his master. But now he was getting old, and every sack seemed heavier, and every day seemed longer. I really should find some other profession, he thought. But how else could I possibly make a living? My only other talent is my voice. Aha, that's it. Music. I will go to Bremen and become the town musician. So he set out for Bremen. And he had been walking for just a little while when he saw an old hound lying in the road, gasping and panting. Hello, old fellow, he said. Why are you breathing so hard?
I've been running, said the hound. Running away, that is. I'm too old and weak to hunt, and my master doesn't want me any more. And how am I ever going to earn my bread and bones?
Well, now, I happen to have an answer to that problem, said the donkey. Why not come with me? I'm going to Bremen to be the town musician. I will play the lute and bray. And I can beat the drum and bay.
Not bad.
I will go with you. So the two musicians went on toward Bremen. They hadn't been long on the road when they met a cat sitting on the path. And his face was as long as a rainy week. And his whiskers were drooping and trembling.
There, there, old shaver, said the donkey.
Don't cry. Nothing can be that bad.
Oh, can't it, though, wailed the cat. Meow. I used to be the best mouse catcher in the country. But now I'm too old and can only sit by the fire. What am I to do? Where am I to go?
Come with us to Bremen, said the donkey. You're a born serenader, and we'll make a rousing trio.
Who, me? Me? Me, meow?
Well, perhaps it would work. Let's try it. So the trio continued on toward Bremen. Soon the animals came to a farmyard, and on the gate sat a rooster, crowing with all his might. Now that, said the donkey, is a truly magnificent crow. I am singing my heart out, said the rooster, while I still can. I have just heard the farmer's wife say that tomorrow I go into the soup kettle. This is my last crow, but it will be my best. How fine it is to meet a musician who takes pride in his work, said the donkey. But why stay here and make soup when you can come with us and make music? Happily, the rooster agreed, and the four friends went on together toward Bremen. When evening came, they decided to stop and look for a place to spend the night. The rooster flew to the top of a tree, and in a moment called down, "There's a light up ahead!" They soon saw that the light came from a window in a house. The donkey tiptoed up to it and looked in.
"What do you see?" asked the rooster.
"What do I see? I see a room filled with riches, a table covered with good things to eat, and sitting at the table, a band of robbers. Well, perhaps we can earn our supper here. Let us think." So the musicians worked out a plan. The donkey went back to the window and put his forefeet up on the sill. The hound jumped up on the donkey's back, and the cat leaped up on the dog, and the rooster perched on the cat's head. Then the donkey rapped the sill with his hoof. At the very first note of the town musicians of Bremen, the robbers screamed in fright, leaped to their feet, and ran out into the forest. The four minstrels agreed that their performance had certainly earned them some supper, so they went into the house, sat down at the table,
and ate as if they might never see another meal. Then they carefully put out the light, and each found the sleeping place that suited him best. The donkey stretched out on some straw in the backyard. The hound curled up behind the door. The cat lay on the hearth, and the rooster flew to the rafters of the roof. And soon they were all sound asleep. Meanwhile, the robbers were huddled out in the forest. But when it was past midnight, they crept in closer to the house.
"We were foolish to be so frightened," said the leader. "We can't leave our house and our treasures just because we heard a noise. No matter how horrible it was, we can't leave our house."
And he bravely ordered one of his men to go back and investigate. The robber tiptoed back to the house and slid in the front door. It was dark and silent inside. By the hearth, he saw what he thought were two live coals, and quietly he reached over to light them. But suddenly, the coals were the glistening eyes of the cat, who flew into the robber's face, spitting and scratching. "Help!" cried the robber, and ran for the back door, but the hound leaped up and bit his leg. "Help! Help!" he cried again, and ran out into the yard, but here the donkey gave him a hearty kick, and the rooster, jumping up and down in the rafters, crowed at the top of his lungs. The robber ran back to his leader as fast as he could. "There's a dreadful witch sitting on the hearth," he said, "and she spat at me and scratched me, and by the door stands a man with a knife, and he stabbed me, and in the yard lies a black monster, and he beat me with a club, and on the roof is the judge," and he roared, "caught the rascal, did you? We must never, never go back again." And they never did. But the house suited the four musicians so well that they never left it, not even to go to Bremen. And they lived there happily for all the rest of their lives. Once in the old country, a long, long time ago, a hungry fox came to a meadow in which there sat a flock of fine, fat geese. "How nice," he said. "I can see that I have arrived just in time for dinner. And you're all sitting together so neatly that I can eat you one after another without even getting up between courses. Thank you very much for your courtesy." But one of the geese stepped forward and said, "As everybody knows, Mr. Fox, geese are slow and stupid, and foxes are quick and smart. So naturally, we couldn't hope to escape you. But perhaps you would grant us just one favor."
"And that is?" asked the fox.
"Before you eat us, let us say our prayers."
"Very well," said the fox. "That seems reasonable enough. Pray away. I'll wait till you're done."
So the first goose began to pray. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And before she ever finished, the second goose began to pray. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the third began. And then the fourth. And soon all the geese were praying, one by one, and in duets, and in trios, and all together in a great chorus. And then, one by one, again. When the geese have finished praying, I'll tell you the rest of the story. But until then, just like the fox, we'll simply have to wait. Once in a faraway land, there was a very, very poor man who had a very beautiful daughter. Now, it happened one day that he met the king, and he wanted to make himself seem rather important. "I," he said grandly, "have a daughter who can spin straw into gold." "How interesting," said the king. "Bring her to my palace and I will put her to the test." When the girl was brought to him, he took her into a room full of straw, gave her a spinning wheel, and said, "If by tomorrow morning you have not spun this straw into gold, you must die." Then he locked the door and left her in the room, all alone.
"Oh, dear," cried the girl, "whatever shall I do?"
Because, of course, she had no idea at all how to spin straw into gold. But suddenly, the door opened, and in stepped a little man.
"Good evening, girl," he said. "Why are you crying so?" "Alas, I have to spin this straw into gold, and I don't know how to do it." "What will you give me if I do it for you?" asked the little man. "I am very poor," she wept, "and I have nothing of value to give you." "Well, then," said the little man, "will you promise to give me your first child if you should become queen?" "Queen," thought the girl. "Me? I'll never become queen."
So she promised. And the little man sat himself in front of the wheel with a handful of straw. The straw became gold. He worked until daybreak, and by then all the straw was spun, and the room was full of gold. Early in the morning, the king came, and when he saw the gold, he could hardly believe his eyes. "This is only a poor man's daughter," he thought. "But where can I find a richer bride?" And he said to the girl, "You shall be my queen." So they were married. And a year later, they had a beautiful child. When the young queen's baby was exactly 1 week old, the strange little man suddenly appeared in her room.
"Now," he said, "you must give me what you promised."
"Oh, no. Anything else," cried the queen. "Take all my riches, but leave me my child."
And she wept and moaned and begged, and finally he said,
"Very well. I will give you 3 days. If in that time you can find out my name, you may keep your baby."
During the night, the queen lay awake, trying to remember all the names she had ever heard. And when the little man came the next day, she began.
"Jonathan, Joseph, Jeremiah, Timothy, Titus, Obadiah, William, Henry, Walter, Sim, Reuben, Rufus, Solomon, Jim, Nathaniel, Daniel, Abraham, Roderick, Frederick, Peter, Sam, Casper, Jasper, Nicholas, Pat, Christopher, Jack, Jehoshaphat."
No. At last she had said all the names she knew, and the little man laughed and went away. That night, the queen sent a messenger out to discover every unusual name that anyone in the countryside knew of. And the next day, she had another long list.
"Xavier, Xerxes, Zittleby, Zorch."
But the little man said, "No, no, no, no."
And again, he went away. And again, the queen sent her messenger out. But when he came back on the last morning, he said, "Not another name have I been able to find, Your Majesty."
"Oh, no," she wept. "No."
"But I did see something strange," said the messenger. "Far out at the edge of the forest, I saw a little house, and in front of it, a bonfire was burning. And in front of the fire, a strange little man hopping on one foot and singing,
"Today I brew, tomorrow I bake, and then the young queen's child I'll take. Oh, oh, she'll lose the guessing game, for Rumpelstiltskin is my name."
"Oh, thank you, thank you," cried the queen.
Soon afterwards, the little man appeared.
"Now, your majesty," he thundered, what is my name?"
The queen smiled.
"Perhaps, Tom?"
"No."
"Maybe Dick?"
"No."
"Well, then," said her majesty, "there's nothing left but
Rumpelstiltskin."
"You guessed it, you guessed it," shrieked the little man. "I won't have it, I won't stand for it." And he stamped his right foot into the ground so hard that he sank up to his waist. Then he stamped his left leg so hard that he disappeared completely.
And Rumpelstiltskin was never seen again.
There was once a very good little girl who lived alone with her mother. They were really quite poor, and a time came when they had nothing to eat. So the little girl went into the forest to gather berries, and there she met an old woman who said,
"Why are you here in the woods alone?"
And the little girl said, "I'm gathering berries so that my mother and I will have something to eat. We are very poor and have nothing else." The old woman gave the little girl a tiny magic pot, and it would cook good, sweet porridge whenever the girl said,
"Cook your porridge, little pot. Cook your porridge sweet and hot."
And when she said, "Stop, little pot, your cooking is done. There's quite enough porridge for everyone." And then the little pot would stop cooking until it was asked to cook again. And so the girl and her mother were never hungry because they ate sweet porridge whenever they chose. Then once, when the girl went away on a visit, the mother wanted to eat. "Cook your porridge, little pot," she said. "Cook your porridge, sweet and hot." And the little pot hissed and whistled merrily and bubbled with good, sweet porridge. And the mother ate until she could eat no more. And then she wanted the pot to stop cooking, but she didn't quite know the words. "Stop, pot," she commanded. But the little pot hissed and whistled merrily and kept bubbling with good, sweet porridge. Over the edge and onto the table flowed the porridge. "You foolish pot, stop cooking." Over the table and across the floor flowed the porridge. Then she tried to rhyme. "Stop cooking, pot, stop cooking, I say, or you'll cook all your magical porridge away." But the little pot just hissed and whistled merrily and bubbled over with good, sweet porridge. It kept cooking and cooking, and sweet porridge rolled out the door and down the street just as if it wanted to satisfy the hunger of the whole world. The pot hissed and whistled and cooked, and soon the sweet porridge rolled into the village. Nobody knew how to stop it, and everybody ran away. Porridge began to cover everything. Then at last, when only one house remained, the little girl came home and said, "Stop, little pot. Your cooking is done. There's quite enough porridge for everyone." And the little pot whistled and hissed and sighed and stopped cooking. And anybody who wanted to return to the village had to eat his way through good, sweet porridge.